broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. This is indeed the broadcast for January 13th in the year of our Lord, 2017. This is Hour 2 at 2, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country in the traditions of our founding fathers. Kurt Crosby with me. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir. All right. Kurt's missing in action. We'll try to get back to him. All right, let's see.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
I don't know what we do to help Kurt Crosby with this missing in action stuff, though, man. I don't know what to do about it, you know? Got to work on it. Good Samaritan with gun kills man, beating state trooper. Kurt?
Well, yeah, Sam. Now, this story should be hitting everywhere, right?
Amen to that,
but
sir.
I can hardly find it anywhere except for some local Arizona stories, and then, you know, because that's where it's from, and then the WorldNet Daily Boys.
Well, of course.
Drudge doesn't have it, but it ought to be, at least in my opinion, you know, one of the top stories, because, you know, you want the copycats getting out there, basically saving policemen, you know, and saving anybody who's needing help. But anyway, the headline reads, basically, you've got Good Samaritan shoots, kills man who wounded Arizona DPS, that's Department of Public Safety, trooper in struggle.
Yeah, so here's what happened. Somehow there became an altercation between this criminal and a trooper. And I guess what happened is the criminal snuck up and ambushed the trooper, shot him, and then the scuffle or battle began. The citizen, in my opinion, the gun-toting, good, honest, defense-believing American, drove up and saw this thing kind of unfolding. Whoa! Literally got to his car, got his gun, fired a warning shot. The thug wouldn't stop beating the cop's head on the cement. And so basically the, what do you call him, Kurt? The Good Samaritan?
Well, that's what they called him, even. You know, sometimes you think, well, we can't say Good Samaritan because it's kind of scriptural or whatever. And yet, you know, in this case, you know, the Arizona Republic called it that. The Arizona Department of Public Safety director called him that. Colonel Frank Milstead called this guy a Good Samaritan.
And I am, too, Kurt.
Yeah, amen to that. And I found it interesting that the Good Samaritan would, you know, at least several of the stories referenced this, that the Good Samaritan asked the trooper if he needed help. And I'm thinking, wait, if you see somebody bashing somebody's head into the pavement, you know, and it looks like they've been shot.
Kurt, but here's the problem.
This citizen's
wise enough to know that if you start helping, if you're not careful, the wrong kind of cop will turn against you and say you had no business being involved in this. If something ever went wrong, then it would be. And so, hey, by asking and getting, yeah, I could use your help, set the stage. This guy did everything perfect is the point.
Yeah, it's a great point, Sam, and I bring it up on purpose.
But,
you know, he did say, hey, do you – you know, and you need some help or whatever, and the guy says, please help me, you know, the policeman, you know.
Of course, yeah. And that sets the stage, because the wrong cops would have basically said, look, you pulled your gun and shot somebody, and you know what? Now we're going to go after you for killing someone.
Yes.
It's like, what? Are you kidding me? But that stuff happens, unfortunately, Kurt.
I know. It's a, you know, I don't know if you got to hear it, but I sent you the audio.
Yeah,
of
super
the,
long, though, is the problem.
Dispatch. Yeah, I know. I just thought
it was
interesting.
What you got to do is you got to download the file, you got to edit the clip, and you got to give me like a 30-second cool piece we can play is what needs to happen.
Well, that's what I figured you might do, but, you know, the bottom line
and
from
it
is.
I had super long before this show to get that done. I had plenty of time.
Yeah, well, that's why I sent it to you last night. But anyway, the bottom line is that, you know, the sad part to us is that this story isn't you know, like the front page on the New York Post or
but
front page on the Washington Post or front page even on Drudge Report. You know, I haven't still haven't seen it even mentioned at the Drudge Report, you know. It should be there, shouldn't it?
Yes, and the headline should be, the headline is Good Samaritan with Gun Kills Man Beating State Trooper,
yeah.
Which is great. However, I think the headline ought to say this. Mm-hmm. An Arizona State Trooper is alive today because a gun-toting stranger came to his rescue.
Yes.
Okay, that's really critical to understand, is that not only is it using a gun in defense mode, but it's protecting police officers. It's showing that, look, we don't have as big of a battle between the police officers and the public as they want you to believe. Okay, you might, in certain inner cities where, you know, everybody runs from the cops, and you might with criminals. But most people, Kurt, don't have a problem with the cops. Most people are a little bit fearful because the cops have been trained to escalate. We really need to focus on, like we did yesterday on that story about, hey, some cops in Miami worked on this idea of de-escalation. We got to really work on that. But most people are friendly with the police and want to help, Kurt. They really are. But the problem is the mainstream press continues to push this divisive narrative that says we're all enemies. Black or white or enemy, cops and people are enemy. Everybody's an enemy, Kurt. And I think it's a lie. And I think we need to promote stories that really heal our nation and bring us together and say, you know what? Good for this gentleman, for one, believing in the right to keep and bear arms and using it as an ultimate self-defense opportunity, coming to the aid of another, defending the police, stopping criminals. I'm saddened that the criminal's dead. I'm not so sure that I see a choice, though. If the nice, good Samaritan citizen didn't take action, it may have been both of them getting their heads beat in. And so
well,
all I'm telling
point.
You is that it's sad that the criminal's dead, but I'm not so sure there was a way out of that one, Kurt. But I will say I'm so grateful for all the positive elements of this story. And where's the mainstream press? They're so busy missing in action talking about sexual golden showers for the Donald that are not even substantiated, Kurt. They're crazy.
Right, right. And, you know, once again, hats off to our pals at the WorldNet Daily Boys, because that's where I first saw it. And then you have to, you know, you can, if you search it, like on Google, then you can find some more. But they're typically, at least the only ones I saw, were just local Arizona stories that, you know, hey, they've got a connection because they had to shut down the freeway. Local people can't not cover that. But, you know, you can just see, you know, even our friends, I'm really surprised at the Drudge Report doesn't have at least some place on there about it, you know. It was just
we need more of that, for sure. And it's a really good story to focus on, and it really has so many positive elements in it that it's beyond imagination, about the proper role of government, about the Constitution, about the God-given unalienable right of self-defense, about coming to the aid of another, a good Samaritan aspect. About someone, in my opinion, an innocent person, in this case, the state trooper, being alive today. Okay, I mean, just so many good pieces to this that it's amazing. All right, Kurt, you're going to be super sad about this next piece. Just super sad.
All right.
It's about your buddy George Soros, Kurt.
Yeah, my old pal.
Yeah, oh yeah. Good old George. George Soros has lost $1 billion since Trump won the White House, Kurt. Did you see this?
Yeah, that's really saddening. I tell you what, I just can't tell you how, you know, that breaks me up.
Now, what
you
happened is George Soros busted into the stock market and everything else, and he made bets that things were just going to kind of go sideways and backwards if Donald got elected. If Hillary got elected, it was all good. Anyway, he made all of his bets. Since he turned out so wrong is how he lost so much of this money, Kurt. He betted that things would not go well. And, oh, boy, howdy, was he wrong. And so he lost $1 billion so far, Kurt.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Isn't that fantastic?
It couldn't happen to a nicer guy.
I really want the guy to lose a bunch of money, but what I don't want him to do is have a big war chest to attack me like he's done with his previous monies.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And, you know, wouldn't it be nice if a guy like that, I guess you could say, joined the good, you know, the side of the good. But, man, I'll tell you what, it just seems like he's always on the tearing America down side, you know?
Amen, without question. So I'm just grateful the guy doesn't have as much money to do his dirty deeds continuing. By the way, there's a Cleveland doctor that we need to come to the aid of,
Ooh, if you will.
The poor guy's struggling big time. We'll tell you why in seconds, but you got to stay tuned to your radio for that. If you want to get a hold of Kurt, Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com, ask him about raw honey today. You can also call and order raw honey delivered directly to your door, 801-669-2211, or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com in seconds.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live, Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby, hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, telling you the tale that the mainstream press simply cannot stomach. They just can't handle it. They don't like America. They don't like restoring the republic. They don't like bringing people together. They don't like good news. If you don't believe me, just go check out their news services and what they focus on. If it's salacious, they love it. If it's violent, they love it. If it destroys America, they love it. If it attacks somebody, they love it. But we love unnamed good Samaritans, folks. We love good people doing good things everywhere. So there's this guy in Cleveland's getting attacked, in my opinion, wrongfully, Kurt. He's a doctor, right?
Well, that's right, Sam. But his problem, you know, he didn't really fall in the right area. You know, he just didn't agree with what they were, you know, selling. And basically, you know, at first he took the jab, as you would call it. You know, his
poor guy
flu. What was it called? The flu vaccine or whatever. He's a Cleveland doctor, and it's a LibertyNewsDaily.com piece, by the way, written really well by Will Gregg. But the thing says, Cleveland doctor punished for vaccination skepticism. And, you know, I just hesitate to not read the whole thing exactly like it is, because the way Will writes it, he says, like a medieval heretic who recants his beliefs after being...
See, he's such a good writer. It's amazing. LibertyNewsDaily.com, by the way, folks.
Yeah. After being summoned before the Grand Inquisitor, Dr. Daniel Needes of the Cleveland Clinic has been compelled to apologize for publishing a newspaper column questioning the wisdom of mass vaccination. I guess this is what he wrote in his January 6th essay. He said, the doctor, by the way, not Will, but he's quoting him here. He said, quote, I am tired of all the nonsense we as American citizens are being fed while big business and the government continue to ignore the health and well-being of the fine people in this country.
Boy, is he spot on, sir.
Yeah, and he continues, he goes, why am I fired up, you ask? I, like everyone else, took the advice of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and received a flu shot. I chose to receive the preservative-free vaccine, thinking I did not want any thimerosal, i.e. mercury, by the way, that the regular flu vaccine contains. And the story continues, although his vaccine was mercury-free, it contained formaldehyde, quote, a known carcinogen.
A.K.A. embalming fluid, just so you know. Yeah. Not to be taken before dead, by the way.
As a result, Dr. Needes complained people were being lined up like cattle and injected with an unsafe product. Within 12 hours of receiving the vaccine, I was in bed feeling miserable and missed 2 days of work with a terrible cough and body aches.
Inject noxious substances into your body that are foreign, that are known carcinogens or toxins, and are you surprised when that happens, doctor? I don't mean to be offensive. I'm just saying, are you really shocked that that occurs?
Yeah, yeah. And he fell for the government line. But the last paragraph says, after being chastised by the Holy Office of the Pharmaceutical Cartel. Dr. Needes apologized.
Okay, the hospital. That's the doctor's mistake. So I appreciate the doctor standing up. I appreciate the doctor admitting
exactly
the truth.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I appreciate the doctor having vaccine skepticism and telling his story and coming forth with the truth. But the doctor, when he capitulated, melted down and lost, Kurt.
Yep. And then he says, then the story says, the hospital promised that he would be subjected to what it called, quote, appropriate discipline, end quote. You know, it's freedom of speech in America, huh, Sam? Sure.
Yeah,
goes on and on, huh?
Altar of sacrifice, I guess.
Wow.
All right, there's liberal Ninth Circuit Court justices. You know about those guys, right, Kurt?
Well, yeah, they're typically not our friends, Sam.
In a while, even a broken clock's right. Once in a while, we get to agree with them, my friend.
Well, that's exactly right. And, you know, I mean, isn't it? I mean, it's refreshing when it happens. And I'm trying to find that story.
But it's super rare. Headline.
Yeah.
Kurt,
oh, there it is. There it is. Right. Liberal Ninth Circuit judges side with man reading Bible.
Roger that, sir.
Yeah, Bob Unruh from WorldNet Daily. The judges on the Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals are often considered among the most liberal in the U.S. After all, they were the ones who allowed a homosexual judge to rule that a vote by Californians against homosexual marriage should be thrown out. But now, three members of the panel have sided with a man who was arrested for reading a Bible on the sidewalk outside a state building.
Just imagine in America, though, getting arrested for reading your Bible on a, in a public common area outside of a government facility, Kurt. Just imagine that, first of all.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't know this guy got arrested for that, you know, before already. But I am grateful that these, you know, quote, liberal Ninth Circuit judges said.
Now, I'm just wondering, though, what got into him, Kurt?
Yeah. Well, that's what I think about when I hear about those prayer warriors.
You know, amen. Absolutely. And that's the whole point, is that folks, oftentimes, you know, we see this as a fluke, or we see that, and I'm not saying it doesn't feel like that at times, but what I'm telling you is, you know what? I believe the more we pray and turn to God, the ultimate healer, the author of our liberty, you know what? Miracles can happen, folks, and let's not underestimate the power of prayer. We're going to be hopefully going to either a prayer breakfast or a prayer event next week. During the Donald Trump inaugurational events. It's going to be phenomenal, Kurt. We're excited to do that. We're going to broadcast live from all these venues next week at the Republican inauguration of Donald Trump. And we're going to spend time with people. It's going to be fascinating to be part of. In my opinion, there's only two inaugurations I would have wanted to attend, the Ronald Reagan one and this one, Kurt.
Yeah, I guess just so that you... Well, that'll be fun, Sam, by the way. Just so you know how evil this one guy was, he was reading
this
the Bible
reading
aloud.
Him?
Yeah, he was reading it out loud. Ooh. Near a line of people that were waiting to enter the California DMV.
Oh, wow.
the prosecution, they say, this is according to the General Counsel for Advocates for Faith and Freedom.
You know what he might have even said to those people, too? You might have read the part where it says, you know what, you're the light of the world. Don't put your candle under a bushel. You know, try to set an example for others and stuff. Or maybe he was in the Ten Commandments part. I'm not sure, but wow.
Wow, yeah. That's you know, typically, though, that you know, if you throw the Bible into the mix, they just throw, quote, the book at
I heard
guy,
that.
You know.
The good book at you, even. Well, no, they throw a bad book
in
at
this
you,
case.
Yes.
Yeah, rejected that's what usually happens. Yeah.
Now, it's interesting, though, to me about this whole thing, because you know what? There's a lot of people doing a lot of good things, Kurt. Number one, the guy reading the Bible in the first place.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. Us talking about it, but here's another story, Sam, where, you know, I can't find it on, I couldn't find it on Drudge. I don't see it anywhere, you know. The WorldNet Daily Boys have it here. You know, you'll be able to find it, I'm sure, on libertynewsdaily.com. But why? Ask yourself, ladies and gentlemen, why wouldn't a story like this get some top billing?
Amen to that. You know, again, good news stories, good news, good people doing good things. You know, we just got to highlight more of that.
They give you hope.
Whoa. Man. Wasn't it Michelle Obama that had no hope, Kurt, or was it
Yeah,
Hillary?
She needs a story like this.
Yeah, maybe
sure.
Maybe she can copycat it in Chicago. She's got plenty of time on her hands now, Kurt.
Mm-hmm.
Good old Michelle. I mean, she's, you know. All right. Quick pause. I got a fascinating story. The racists are at it again, Kurt, and we'll tell you who they really are in seconds on your radio.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from libertynewsdaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Citing anonymous officials within the intelligence community, the Washington Post reports that the decision had been unanimous to attach the two-page summary of the now-notorious Trump dossier to a sweeping report on Russian election interference commissioned by the White House and briefed to Obama, Trump, and congressional leaders. One anonymous source reportedly told the Post that this was fully explained and put into context when it was presented to the president-elect. Director of National Intelligence James Clapper has said that he personally told Trump that the allegations digested in the dossier had been compiled by a private security company, and that government intelligence agencies had not made any judgment that the information in this document is reliable. According to Clapper, part of our obligation is to ensure that policymakers are provided with the fullest possible picture of any matters that might affect national security. Clapper claims to be dismayed that the dossier was leaked to the public. Former CIA officer Philip Giraldi, who has been a supporter of Donald Trump, concludes that the dossier is a composite of some fact, a lot of speculation, and even some fiction. It is very similar to the types of media-focused disinformation produced by both the CIA and KGB in Europe in the 1970s and 1980s. In this case, the original intent might well have been to discredit Trump personally, perhaps with the objective of narrowing his options on recalibrating with Russia. If you want a win-win-win opportunity for patriots, think GiveMeLibertyFund.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
I worry about my parents because I think smoking is going to harm them. I mean, it harms my mom. She coughs all the time. I'm just like, Mom, it's because of your smoking. But she's like, well, see, this is what you should look at. See me, I smoke and look at this. I'm just like, yeah, Mom, why don't you just try to quit?
Sometimes teenagers do know what they're talking about.
I've tried. I've brought them the little pamphlets that we get at school about not smoking. And I've like tossed it in front of them. I'm like, Mom, read this. We even got this thing from the American Cancer Society. It was this thing that you send around about not smoking because my mom sends those things out. And she's like sitting here folding them up. And I was like, Mom, are you really going to send those out? And she's like, well, yeah. And I was like, well, isn't that a slight bit hypocritical? She says, no, I'm going to send them out. I was like, well, don't you see something? These people are trying so hard to get people not to smoke. She was just like, well, I know it's wrong and I know it's going to harm me, but it hasn't harmed me yet.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, I got a very weird story. It's really the racists, Kurt. They claim we're racist, but they're lying, and they know it. It's kind of like attacking, what's his name from Alabama? He's the...
Judge Roy Moore.
No. The senator.
Oh, Sessions.
Yeah, Jeff Sessions. Yeah. Sorry. It's kind of like attacking Jeff Sessions because he has Asian grandchildren.
Grandchildren.
And what's fascinating is they're only half Asian, right, Kurt?
That's right. They would be Amerasian, right?
And my point is, why do we call them Asian? Because they're half Asian. I mean, if they're, European, they're half European.
They're American.
Really, they're Americans, and I appreciate their heritage.
No matter what their color.
I celebrate their ability to... focus on their heritage, and they should be proud of their heritage and all that stuff. But what I'm saying is it's interesting how they all turn this against him. And then, it turns out, it was his real grandchildren, and it wasn't a photo op at all. It was just merely his family came with him somewhere.
Yeah, he didn't even rent them at Toys R Us.
No, like nothing like that. Yeah.
MTV guy said.
Anyway, I bring all that up because listen to this story. Mm-hmm. All right? Headline says this. Baltimore was the second deadliest city in 2016.
So posted Chicago by, was number one.
Posted by Amber Randall, okay?
Yeah.
They say boasting a murder rate that was almost double Chicago's.
Wait a minute.
Yeah?
So Chicago wasn't ahead of it?
No. Nope.
So who was number one?
Boasting a murder rate that was almost double Chicago's. Baltimore saw 318 homicides in 2016, which represents a 7% decrease from 2015, 344 homicides. Now, Baltimore came in with the second highest murder rate, second only to, can you guess, Kurt, what?
Washington, D.C.
No, sir.
It's not Chicago.
No, sir.
I'd have to be L.A., I guess.
No, sir.
No?
St. Louis, Missouri, sir.
St. Louis? Whoa.
I'm not joking.
That's not what you get told, is it?
I know. They say Chicago received a lot of media attention. Yeah. After the Chicago Police Department announced the meltdown, the increase in murder raids.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the interesting tidbit about this. Listen carefully, because this is really fascinating. All right, Baltimore has a higher murder rate than Chicago. Baltimore had a murder rate of 51 per every 100,000 citizens, okay? Compared to Chicago's murder rate of only 28 per every 100,000. New York City in comparison, Kurt?
Yeah.
Only had a murder rate of 3.9.
Whoa. So if you're in
for every 100,000.
Baltimore, you want to cruise to New York for safety. Or Chicago, I guess, right? I mean, and what is so amazing is that St. Louis is ahead of them.
Beyond imagination. I concur. That's the whole reason I bring it up. But then the racist part comes. And they say Baltimore residents previously begged their local police officers to police their neighborhoods and stop the crime, the violence. Mostly elderly black women were the ones really complaining the most that wanted, like, peace, Kurt.
Imagine that. They didn't want people shot up in their neighborhood.
Yeah, an area resident who owned a gas station begged the police for help.
Wow.
Elderly social workers are chiming in. They say they need more police as corner stores. Try to stay open 24 hours, okay? Now, that's fascinating in and of itself. But here's the reason that I say that it's racist. Then they say this, Kurt. Black people made up the overwhelming majority of homicide victims in 2016. 92% of the victims were black.
Good point, yeah.
Now, what do you say to that, Kurt?
So black on black crime. Right?
Well, they don't say that. Stop now.
But that's what's happening. See?
I know, Kurt. I mean, you're exactly right.
But why can't you report it? I guess it's the freedom of speech thing. That's the way it works. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, here's how it is. In Cook County, they say, 710 of them were black out of the 900 and something, whatever. Just overwhelming. Now, I understand that black people made up the victims. But what they left out is what percent of black and white were the perpetrators? Right?
Mm-hmm. Good point.
Now, 90% of the victims were black. Now, here's the reason I bring it up. I'm okay, Kurt, if they don't tell you what percent of the victims are black and if they don't tell you what percent of the perpetrators are black. In other words, I'm okay if you leave black and white racial issues out of it and say violence is out of control. Okay, I get it. And I'm also okay if you put in both statistics about what percent of victims and perpetrators are black. I'm okay with that, too. What I'm not okay with is when you say 92% of the victims are black, but you leave out the other half of that equation, you're racist
because
and you're reporting,
in,
Kurt.
Yeah, and you're inferring, at least in my opinion, you give this idea that says that if somebody reads that, then the black people are getting beat up by the white guys. That's what basically you get from it, right? And therefore, you've got to go ahead and somehow fix it by some law or something, and yet, you know, you literally cause the problems that you see in this between the police, especially in the average American citizen, because you're promoting a false narrative, fake news, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's kind of the point here, is it's racist in its overtones, because it either, one, tries to make you believe that white people committed most of these crimes, although it doesn't say that, but at the least it downplays the black role. And 90% of it, and I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I'm telling you, is black on black crime. And yeah, the victims are 92% black, but so are the perpetrators. Kurt? So are the perpetrators. When it comes to rape, and if we're talking about violence, there's oftentimes black-on-black rape and black-on-white rape. But there's very few white-on-black rapes in comparison.
It's a great point.
And I'm not
and
here to trash black
not
people.
Fair. It's not fair to not tell the story the way it really is.
Yeah, I'm not here to trash black people, but I am here to report the statistics. And I'm fine if you want to leave both of them out. In other words, not talk about race, talk about the violence, which is where I think the focus ought to be.
Right.
Or you can put both the numbers in and just say, hey, we've got a serious problem. What is the difference in a lot of these black communities, these poor neighborhoods, these black communities in these inner cities that's causing this to happen? And some would say, well, hey, they're stupid. They got horrible IQs. Well, you know what? There may be some truth to some of those things, Kurt. Okay? When you do drugs, when you're subject to poor and poverty-style living conditions and you don't have the proper nutrition, when you are born to maybe a crack mother or drug-addicted father, it's going to affect your IQ and stuff, okay? So there may be some truth to that. But again, all that does is feed the racial divide and discussion points. In my mind, the big issue here is, number one, you don't have stable homes. You don't have a mother and a father there to love and nurture and teach their children. Okay? And if you did, things would be significantly better. Every real study statistic backs up my claim. And if you were to teach mothers and fathers to stay together and stay home and love one another and not be out bar hopping and clubbing and, you know, pillaging and plundering and drugging and, you know, going after sexual conquests and these kind of things. If you were to teach people, look, if you love your children, you need to stay together and stay home. Have fidelity to one another. Live good lives. Work hard. Teach your children to do the same. So I know these elderly black women are running around and store owners are calling on cops to do more. And I agree that to some degree we need to keep the peace. But I also agree that, you know what, you can get quadruple the cops on the streets and it's not going to help a bit. You're just going to have a bunch of dead cops too. What you need to do is turn people to family and God. And you need to have people look to support one another in the family, the God-ordained family. And you need to turn people to religious beliefs. Look, thou shalt not kill needs to be center. God said don't kill, and your mother will be horribly sad if you kill someone and go to jail or die yourself. Mothers are suffering. But you know what? As long as dad's not around, as long as mom's, you know, on drugs or involved in, you know, conquest boyfriends and government funding all that and the projects, and it's going to happen. And even Ben Carson, the leader of this, hopefully soon leader of HUD, is saying, look, government does too much for the people. Get out of the way. Let the private sector and churches and charities do their work. Teach people about God and family, and you'll start to see a change, Kurt. Until then, you won't. And none of these stories talk about that. None of them. Shame on them and their fake news. Stand with solutions that work, my fellow Americans. Would you please? Liberty Roundtable live in seconds. Sam and Kurt on your radio. Are you familiar with the term vigor? Strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example? Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kurt Crosby. All right? And he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him. And believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test available now. Get a hold of Kurt Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, Kurt, you've got an Israeli prime minister in the news, huh? I don't think he's one of the good guys, is he?
Well, apparently not, Sam. And as you look through the different stories that are available, it's amazing how many, real stories are out there that, I never knew about before. Because, you'd be listening to, say, Sean Hannity or something like that, and they'd talk about the exact same thing for 3 hours, just kind of twist it around a few times. And, it's amazing how much you can find by looking in the right places. On the Israeli story, tell me more about it. I'm looking through the list here, and I don't see it right now. Let's see, Bust of Friends.
Well, I guess the interesting thing about this story, Kurt, mm-hmm. is that you've just got another kind of a thug, if you will. They call this guy a prime minister, and as Kurt would like to say, well, this guy's not really a religious guy, is he?
Right? Yeah, not preaching too much.
But I guess he faces criminal corruption probe, and it's a Liberty News Daily story, I think. But I guess every Israeli prime minister since, Menachem?
Okay.
I don't know how you say
Menachem
it.
Begum, Menachem Begum, I think
right.
they call
yeah,
it.
Menachem?
Yeah.
They've been accused of and or involved in serious corruption scandals. For example, the former guy was forced to step down in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
Over corruption. It started out as allegations, Kurt, but he's since been indicted. Now investigations are ongoing against Benjamin Netanyahu, reports the AP. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, I guess he had to be grilled by the cops for over 3 hours. And they say opening what could be a politically damaging criminal investigation into suspicions that he accepted improper gifts from wealthy supporters. I wonder if our officials have done any of that, Kurt.
Oh, no, that doesn't happen here in America, Sam. I mean, this is just an out-of-the-country thing, of course. And the story references Joel Skousen, one of our regular guests, and he says Will Grigg calls him geopolitical analyst. Joel Skousen is inclined to believe the charges and suspects it is just the tip of the iceberg. He says Netanyahu has long been the recipient of globalist favors ever since the Kissinger Group paid for, did you know this, his U.S. education and set him up in an office on Wall Street.
Wait a minute, what are we doing all that for, Kurt? What on earth is going on with that?
Well, and it's interesting if you want to go a little deeper, how did Kissinger ever get where he was? And you find out basically it was the same kind of thing. The insider boys, the back, room guys set him up, and put him where he was. And basically these guys are like, puppets for them. Skousen points this out. Netanyahu, he says, came to Israel with very little money, and he's now extremely wealthy. And then Joel Skousen says, it's the same way Barack Obama became wealthy in office after having only made $60,000 a year as a community organizer.
Well, and that's why I asked, you know, hey, Kurt, do you think this is happening to some of our officials, too? Because it's like, wow.
Not in America.
I guess the difference, though, Kurt, is that they're willing to dig into it and stop it over there, or at least try. Yeah. In our case, we're just like, are you kidding me? You must be a racist for bringing that up, right? That's where they go.
Well, that's exactly right with Obama. Mm-hmm. Good point.
Wow.
Yep. Wow. It's a good story. LibertyNewsDaily.com, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, that's how Liberty News Daily rolls.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what do they say? Kissinger paid for the education?
Well, his group, you know, because what you've got is, you know, it's sort of like, you know, the way I remember it, Kissinger was basically the same way. Somebody pulled him under their wing and, you know, funded him and et cetera. And then now he's become basically the same way as the guys before him. And his Kissinger group, you know, did that with Netanyahu. I never knew that before. But, well, you always learn, you know, some amazing things when you look deep under the end of the story, right, Sam?
Amen to that. Now, Kurt, I mentioned to you, whenever we watch these gunmen that murder people and just go ballistic, psychotic with a gun, you find several elements every time you dig into them. Every time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Really. And you kind of wonder what government involvement has to do with it. You kind of wonder what psychotropic drugs have to do with it.
Right.
You kind of wonder what, you know, getting psychiatric or psychology or psychiatrist type treatment. You wonder what the government provocateur mode or people that are influencing these people to do these things are. And it goes on and on. And now the headline, Fort Lauderdale gunman claims he was radicalized by U.S. intel agencies. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, Kurt. I don't want to go off into conspiracy land, but what I do want to say is this. He's making that claim.
Yeah.
And then they go into the story and they say, you know what, he was, being under psychiatric treatment. He may have been on medications. And then, the government knew about this and let him go and gave his weapon back multiple times. At some point you go, are they encouraging this, Kurt? And what role do the drugs play? And again, same pattern, same. And if you see so many of these examples with the same characteristics, at some point you say, there's got to be a design. There's got to be a pattern. There's got to be something to this more than all these traits just happening every time government and so-called professionals are treating and drugs. And every time, they were known by the cops, known by the FBI, known by the military, and, you know, we didn't stop it. We gave their guns back and literally almost aided it to occur, willed it to occur. Every time you see this, and this is no exception, Kurt. Again, this headline's from what, Liberty News Daily?
Well, I don't remember for sure, but I do know that, you know, the guy said he was, hearing voices basically telling him what to, kind of encouraging him on this. And you think of that old... what's the thing called? The starts with an M, but you know, you have these individuals that are set up that at certain time they'll do certain things, and this guy sure fits the mold there, something project. I'm trying to remember the name, Manchurian.
Manchurian Candidate. Yeah,
that's right.
Sorry, I was hesitating. I want to make sure.
This guy's, his story almost sounds like that.
Amen to that. All right, before the end of the hour, I want to get to this story, too. We've just got so much news. And next week, we're not going to be able to focus on near as much of this. But climatologist, Dr. Judith, what's her name? Currier? I guess it's Curry.
Okay.
C-U-R-R-Y. She resigned. Did you see this, Kurt?
Yeah, now I remember this story. you know, a little bit about it.
Well, they say she committed career suicide amidst sound science. What happened is she doesn't believe the global warming bogus stuff. She stood up for it. They abused her so hard she finally just said, I'm out of here. Enough of you people. You're crazy.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't want the truth, then I don't know what to tell you. And so she ended up just finally resigning, Kurt, just saying, you know what, enough of this.
Mm-hmm.
What a sad tale.
It is. And we see it.
She says, you know, science is supposed to be a process in which researchers constantly test their assumptions, and all conclusions are provisional.
Yep.
But they say once conclusions are final, debating them is not science, it's political.
Yes.
And she said, a deciding factor in my resignation is the fact that I no longer know what to say to students and postdoctorates regarding how to navigate the field where we deny science and cater to an agenda.
She called it the craziness of the field of climate science. You know, and, you know, it's just insane. And she's like, can't do it anymore. And it is a LibertyNewsDaily.com piece, ladies and gentlemen. The headline, Climatologist Commits Career Suicide in the Service of Sound Science. Dr. Judith Curry, where she resigned as chair of the School of Earth and Atmospheric Sciences at the Georgia Institute of Technology.
Poor lady, our prayers are with her.
Yeah.
I wish that others would stand with her, because it's really hard to stand alone. But if enough of us stood up, they wouldn't be able to do this to all of us.
Yeah, and she says, research and other professional activities are professionally rewarded only if they are channeled in certain directions approved by a politicized academic establishment. Funding, ease of getting your papers published, getting hired in prestigious positions, appointments to prestigious committees and boards, and professional recognition. How young scientists are to navigate all this is beyond me, and it often becomes a battle of scientific integrity versus career suicide.
Boy, is she on target, and that's the problem, folks. They cover up and lie and cheat and promote those who do it, and those who are honest and stand up and want accountability and the truth are flat out rejected in every way possible. It's up to you and I to change that game. Whistleblowers, newsmakers, all kinds of people coming together to create accountability and the truth, to restore morality in the American way. That's what we do. Have a delightful weekend. Liberty Roundtable Live. This nation shall endure.